0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There will be no away fans at Old Firm matches in the Premiership and League Cup this season. Hearts come out on top in an Edinburgh derby with James Wilson and Josh McPake starring, and three proposals are put forward by the SPFL in the hope of getting more minutes for young Scottish players. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
The minority have sabotaged the majority with regard to the Old Firm ticket ban. Unfortunately for the majority, the minority are the ones who are given to antisocial behaviour and to violence. The SFA Independent Commission into the Scottish Cup tie at Ibrox on the 8th of March decided that we were moving towards a time when some incidents at this game were life-threatening. You can't have that. It's sad, but it's inevitable. And I suspect that until something dramatic happens of a positive nature, we have seen the last of away fans at Old Firm games in every competition.
Yeah, we've had a week of big talking points, Scott. You look at the fact there was a midweek fixture card which was capped with a really intriguing Edinburgh derby last night. There was the end of the transfer window. There was a big meeting today with all the SPFL clubs about trying to get more Scottish youth players minutes on the park. But I have a feeling that the phones will be rammed with people wanting to talk about ticket allocations tonight.
Yeah, a really busy week and all of the things you touched on there, Andrew. And yeah, listen, I would expect the phone calls to be mostly about that tonight. Obviously, it's a big talking point. Listen, for me, I think I don't want to say the word inevitable when that's the way it's going to look for the next wee while. But for me, ultimately, you are taking away from the fixture. There's no getting away from that. I think it's a less sellable game when you only have one set of fans in the stadiums. But ultimately, you pay the price for the problems that we've seen last season, and it's how we can go over that and can we go over that.
I think violence takes away from the fixture and you can't have that. The scenes at Ibrox where the Celtic fans come onto the pitch, they were wrong. I know it was in celebration of a penalty kick shootout winner, but you stay where you are. And the reaction from the Rangers supporters was equally wrong. There was a threat to life that day, as the SFA Independent Commission said, and I'm very much afraid that the majority will simply have to put up with the unforgivable behaviour of the minority.
Speaking of derbies, there was a big one last night. We'll get into it in a bit more detail later on. I know you were there, Scott. What were your sort of initial thoughts of what went on at Easter Road?
I actually thought it was a good game of football. I was really looking forward to it before the game because I thought both teams kind of an even keel. It was quite a hard game to call when I thought Hearts were fantastic in the first half. Six Scottish players in the team. I'm looking at some of the players wondering will they be in Epoch Acknowledge next Scotland squad, because it's especially that position on the left hand side. McPake carrying the ball, can go both ways, lifting his head, finding a pass for James Wilson, a young Scottish striker who you're now questioning was that the right move for him to go to Tottenham last year, because he looks like he's came back a much better footballer, which is what we want, especially for the national team. Calvin Miller again, really good. And then second half, it was like kind of flipped. Hibs came out, a lot of energy, similar to what I'd seen when they played Ghent the last Thursday. And then just a crazy moment that led to the red card and that. Listen, Hibs still had a goal, but they were looking very likely to get that equaliser and then maybe go on and win the game. But it's what a goal to win any fixture from Josh McPake.
0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to look back on that or some of the midweek fixtures. Maybe you want to look ahead because there is another big weekend of action. Of course, there's a championship game on the go tonight. There was that SPFL summit today, or the SFA summit, of all the clubs getting together. Some proposals put forward with youth quotas. We'll give you the details of that a bit later on, but I think that quite a few of you will want to talk about that Old Firm ticket situation. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. In case you haven't heard the news, the SPFL announced today that no away fans will be allowed at Old Firm matches in the Premiership and League Cup this season. That follows the SFA's independent review into events at Ibrox that happened on the 8th of March. The clubs had previously agreed to give out a 5% available capacity for the games this season. Rangers then later proposed that it would be a reduced allocation at Ibrox of 300 tickets for the upcoming League Cup match, which was a bit different. Celtic rejected that, referred the matter to the SPFL, and now it's been agreed no away fans for matches between Celtic and Rangers this season in those competitions. It's a temporary measure that will allow the SPFL, police and the clubs the independent review recommendations to be looked at. They're going to try and improve planning, safety. The decision will be reviewed if circumstances change, with arrangements for 2027-2028 to be considered before next season. So it's not as if it's there to stay forever, Hugh, but no. It seems as if the SPFL have just taken a bit of a beat, really, and thought, well, if there's no agreement right now between the clubs and the clubs can't see eye to eye, sort of take a bit of time, everyone can get together and work out the best solution going forward.
You know, I am Methuselah on this programme, and I'll play the part of Methuselah all the way here. I saw my first Old Firm game 65 years ago. When I was a teenager going to Old Firm games, the violence was astonishing. The drunkenness was astonishing. But it was almost accepted as a way of life then. Now, people don't accept this stuff as a way of life. And there is no moral high ground here. Celtic are as bad as Rangers. Rangers are as bad as Celtic. And the clubs are reluctant to take bold steps, I think. So we'll see the effect that this season has on the clubs and whether they revisit the topic in the summer with a fresh mind, because at the moment there is no willingness to compromise between both clubs.
Let's speak to Andy, who is a Celtic fan in Bells Hill. Andy, what are you making of that development today?
I think it's absolutely horrific for Scottish football. Good evening, gentlemen, by the way.
Hello.
And I totally agree with Hugh Keevans in what he said, that the minority of fans have ruined it for other fans. It's horrible. In ways round it, I believe more stewarding needs to be done at these events to stop people coming into these events with pyrotechnics and glass bottles. Because watching some of the videos from the Scottish Cup semi-final, both teams are wrong. I'm a Celtic fan. Do not get me wrong. You should not be entering the field of play. That's out of bounds for any supporter.
First of all, Andy, can I just say that in terms of frisking the crowd and who gets in with what, that's a Police Scotland matter, because stewards aren't paid enough to put themselves on the line. There were one or two incidents at Ibrox on the 8th of March of stewards who received very bad injuries as a consequence of warring supporters. So it's a Police Scotland matter.
I agree. But however, there should be more things done at the events. Again, more stewards, more police, to stop these individuals coming in with these pyrotechnics and glass bottles. For example, you wouldn't see that at venues such as the SECC, the Hydro, that type of thing.
Yeah.
There's pat-downs done there.
But if you introduce,
implemented.
If you introduce, for example, facial recognition technology or people being frisked on an individual basis before they go into a ground, they'll then start shouting about their human rights. And Police Scotland will be caught up in the middle of something that they don't want to be caught up in the middle of, because they've got enough on their hands as it is.
See, what's the solution then for you, Hugh, if you think there is one? Look, obviously we're not going to have that this season.
I think the solution...
Because the fixture isn't as attractive with just one set of fans in the stadium. For me, I
fully agree, and it's deeply regrettable, all of this, but the solution is starvation of the fixture. For those who misbehave, if you can't go to it, then you'll suffer the withdrawal symptoms. You really want to go and see it. Well, the next time you go and see it then, if you're allowed to go and see it, why don't you try sitting in your seat and behaving yourself?
I suppose the hope is that not everyone is going to agree with the fact that there aren't going to be away fans at these games for what could potentially be for the rest of the season. But in this period where there are no away fans, the SPFL have said that all the relevant stakeholders are going to get together and have those discussions. What those discussions look like, we don't know. Whether everyone's going to agree, we don't know. Probably not.
Probably
That's just
not.
The way it goes in Scottish football. But it at least kind of gives everyone the time. They're knowing that nothing's going to happen in that time in the stands, on the pitch, at these games, which is a shame there's no fans in there, but at least kind of gives everyone a bit of time to hopefully calm heads, sit around a table and work out the solutions between everyone if it's possible.
If it's possible, yeah. I think moving forward, yes, this will be this season. And you're just hoping that then doesn't roll into next season, which we've seen before with the allocations being cut. And then ultimately, once you open the allocation, as we've seen obviously in that game last season, that's what then transpired, the trouble that we've seen on the day, which, listen, you just can't condone sort of some of the behaviour of a minority of fans from both clubs. But I just think, for me, if we can sort this out this season, I think next season you've got to have a fresh start. You've got to have solutions, whether that's the police's, you've got more policing, more stewarding. But the fixture has to, long term, has to have fans from both teams allowed back into the
stadium. The worrying thing for me, Scott, is that at boardroom level, at Celtic and Rangers, I do not detect a willingness to do business with each other. They definitely give the impression that Rangers blame Celtic, Celtic blame Rangers, and therefore, if you can't get them to come to any form of agreement at directorial level, what chance have you got in the pub?
I think even in a pure numbers game, the clubs seem to be, from the outside looking in, the clubs seem to be at a bit of an impasse, because you look at that game in the Scottish Cup last season, Celtic wanted a big allocation, mm-hmm. Rangers didn't want Celtic to have a big allocation. Yeah. You then look at the game this season, the first League Cup match of the season, Rangers wanted to cut that allocation to 300 tickets.
Yeah.
So it looks as if there is quite a big gap between what Celtic want and what Rangers want. And are you able to find, is the gap so big that it's so tough to find that middle ground and what the right number of tickets are? And by the way, that's just a small matter in it. There's so many policing matters, steward matters, everything else on top of that that go around getting the game on rather than just the number of tickets.
If Sky Television suddenly said, do you know what? It's not the same television spectacle without away fans. There would soon be away fans. However, at the moment, let's not shy away from the fact that the problem has been created by violence, multiple arrests, and an SFA commissioned report which said the fixture was in danger of carrying life-threatening moments. Life-threatening.
Andy, the SPFL have said today that there is a chance that potentially, if everyone manages to come to an agreement, that fans could be back this season. It might not last the whole season. Are you hopeful that can happen? Do you think that's maybe out of reach, just given the situation we're in at the moment?
No, I think it's out of reach because of it. Listen, what you said, life-threatening. Now, that is a major word to be said, life-threatening. Now, I tell you who I feel sorry for in this whole debacle. It's the players. I feel sorry for the players. When you go to an away stadium, for example, Ibrox or Celtic Park, you want to be running towards your supporters. You want to get the love and adoration. And when you're in a stadium full of away supporters, who are you going to run to? Apart from your own players, who are you going to get cheered on from? You're just going to get booed and jeered. And again, it's the players I feel sorry for, and that in Sky Sports as well, because soon enough we're going to lose the sponsorship for Sky Sports, because it's not the fixture it used to be, with both the fans celebrating and both the fans jeering.
Well, Sky Sports, you know, they underwrite Scottish football. What do they pay, £25 million a season or something close to that figure? I don't know if they'd ever ask for their input, but they will not be happy with one set of fans and one set of fans only. However, before we get to the commercial aspect of it, before we get to the television company's interest in bringing about a change of circumstances, we need a change of behaviour. The behaviour of the minority, I stress the minority, has deteriorated to the extent that the fixture is now a danger.
Thank you to Andy. What about Stevie, who's a Rangers fan in Gala Hill? What are you making of it, Stevie?
Well, I'll just say hello to wee Tash, first of all. My wee girlfriend, she's in the back room listening to you. But anyway, what was I going to say? No, I'm really angry about this because they're decent supporters. I mean, when I was a young boy, I used to go to Ibrox, my wee Rangers scarf on, you know, and then buy my pie, buy my programme, no bother. But see, nowadays, it's an absolute joke. Right, I'm going to say, right, the Union Bears, for a start, and then you've got the Green Brigade, right? They all wear these masks, right? And they're on about with these black outfits and all that on. They are no supporters. They're just hooligans. That's all they are. That's all they root for. Hooligans. And that's exactly what they're doing.
I do think, you know, people talk about the, you know, the minority spoiling it for the majority.
Yeah.
You also need to look at that with the ultras groups and these supporters groups as well, that it's not every single person in the Union Bears and the Green Brigade that are misbehaving, and not everyone that's misbehaving is in the Union Bears or the Green Brigade. Yes, people will have their opinions on it, but it more needs to just come down to the actual individuals that are causing the problems rather than just blanket targeting groups, isn't it?
You know, you can highlight groups who wear balaclavas and, as Stevie said, black outfits, lends a sinister aspect to the whole day. But somebody of no fixed age group, somebody of no fixed background is creating serious trouble. Trouble that could lead to tragedy. And that's why we have what we have today with the blanket ban. And the clubs themselves have a year now in which to come to some kind of compromise, because the clubs, I repeat, at directorial level are as divided as two groups of balaclavas.
Stevie, what would be the ideal sort of number for you if it was to be, you know, away fans back in? What would the allocation you would like to see? What brings the best atmosphere? What makes the games best for you?
I really would. I'd love to see that again, because it was a great atmosphere.
How many was that, Stevie?
I mean, I'd love to see both sets of supporters being back at both grounds, you know, because I remember the 4-each game in the 80s. What a game it was, and both sets of supporters were brilliant, you know.
Well, I remember that game only too well. Stevie, my great pal Murdo McLeod scored the goal that made it 4-4, and it was a wonderful occasion, and you could have wonderful occasions. But remember, before you get sentimental, remember 1980, the cup final, Hampden Park, extra time, and then a riot. So for decades, we've had this problem associated with the game, and now we've reached a low point in the history of the Old Firm fixture, because now both clubs have agreed or have been told by the authorities no away fans at any league match or cup tie, and we are now at Old Firm low point.
Thank you to Stevie. 0141 951 1025. Keep your calls coming.
Talking football, 6 until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been a busy start to the show. That's because the SPFL have confirmed today there will be no away fans at matches between Celtic and Rangers this season in the Premiership and League Cup. So keep your thoughts coming on that a bit later on. We're going to look at the Edinburgh Derby last night, a good win for Hearts. Big games this weekend that we'll look ahead to. And of course, there was that big SFA summit today, looking at more minutes for young Scottish players across the pyramid. There have been some proposals put together, so we'll look at them as well. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's speak to Francis, who is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. How are you, Francis?
Hi, guys. Be gentle, this is my first time ever calling.
Good to hear from you.
It's just, Hugh had mentioned earlier about the board of directors getting together and sort of thrashing this out, all this fan atmosphere, the fan behaviour, things like that. Should we not emphasise more on the board of directors of each of these sides instead of blaming the fans? From what I see, it's easy to blame the fans, and it's easy to find both sides of fans, and you know, and they are sometimes they can be disruptive, but it's passion. I mean, Hugh, I'm not that much younger than Hugh, but I remember.
I'll bet you are.
Football. I don't think so. But I remember the days going to the football with my dad, and yes, it was the days of old, and it was great. It was a brilliant atmosphere, and we all went home after it, no matter what the result was.
Francis, it's not passion when someone lobs a pyrotechnic into a crowd where there are children sitting. That's not passion, that's criminality. And no director ran onto the park at Ibrox on the 8th of March. No Rangers director or Celtic director ran out the park. The Celtic fans were wrong. I understand that they had won the cup tie, but one man's or one woman's elation is another man or woman's frustration. So we ended up with a pitch battle, and we ended up with serious scenes, and we ended up with an independent commission which said that this fixture is heading towards the life-threatening. So nostalgia doesn't come into it. And as I said earlier, 46 years ago we had a cup final that ended up with the Royal Infirmary being absolutely chock-a-block with Rangers and Celtic fans and arrests all over the place, and a former Daily Record colleague of mine, a photographer, who was struck by a bottle, who we thought might not make it through the night. So go back any decade that there's violence. We've hit rock bottom now as a result of the game at Ibrox on the 8th of March. And the directors, in the fullness of time, will have to come together, because I'm sure they don't like it with just one set of fans in the ground. But at the moment, logistically speaking, you can't have Rangers fans inside Celtic Park or Celtic fans inside Ibrox. It's too dangerous.
Do you think you can't, though, at the moment? Because you look at last season, yes, there was the trouble in the Scottish Cup quarter-final. Nobody wants to see that again. But, you know, there wasn't the same uproar with the league games last season. And yes, there would have been, you know, incidents in those games that happened, but it didn't boil over in the way that the Scottish Cup quarter-final did. So we have seen in these games last season and in previous seasons that it's more than possible to have both sets of supporters in the ground.
So can you take the Scottish Cup game in isolation?
Well, clearly the authorities have taken the game in isolation, because that was the reason for the independent commission and for what has followed. Yes, I do take your point that you can go to many an Old Firm game and the atmosphere will be raucous, but legally raucous. But at the moment, we have so many problems going on with matters relating to the Old Firm fixture, the balaclavas, all of the stuff that went on at Ibrox before the game even started. And it's creating a social disorder that people are concerned about.
Francis, are you hopeful that the right solution can be found? Does it concern you that, you know, that there have been ongoing issues and it hasn't really been able to be worked out as of yet?
No, I absolutely think there is a solution out there, but I also firmly believe, and I'm not targeting Hugh Cavins on this, I'm just saying as I see it, Hugh sits in on radio and he spouts all this information. Now, me personally, I'm not like, I can see Hugh saying, you know, Celtic fans started it on that cup final day, blah, 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 blah. Now, that's not quite true. If you're celebrating something that your team have achieved, and yes, they spilled out onto the pitch, but they didn't spill out onto the pitch at the other end of the pitch. They spilled out. Now, they could have been ushered back behind the barriers before all of these Rangers fans come onto the pitch, but they didn't, and they weren't. And the fact of the matter is, the police and the security were taken up, and they were taken up trying to get Rangers fans off the pitch. Now, the thing here is as well, I feel Hugh is taking it very personal, going back to, and I had a friend. Now, Hugh, I've also had someone died at a football match. I've also, and I could sit here and say, I've also got a chap who is a member of my family who played for Glasgow Rangers, and I am a Celtic fan. But it's not all about us. It's all about the game, the sport. You're taking the absolute presence of all these people that do love going to a football game and enjoying the football. I can't take my grandchildren now because I'm scared of coming outside.
If you're too afraid to take your grandchildren, then why are you arguing with me? Because I'm trying to bring about a situation whereby we can discuss a better atmosphere in which this game can take place. Francis, you've just said on radio you're afraid to take your grandchildren to one of these games for fear of what might happen. Have a think about that. That's why there are no fans anymore.
No, that's not why there's no fans anymore. The reason why there's no fans anymore is no one is putting pressure on the boards to say, look, you sort your fans out, you sort your fans out. Now, all the pyrotechnics that you're talking about, yes, if there's pyrotechnics in a Celtic game, then it's up to us, because we've obviously, they've got in with them, haven't they? So Celtic are responsible for that. They've gotten in with the pyrotechnics. There should be some solution for them to get in without any of that nonsense.
I suppose that is what the SPFL are now trying to do, is that they are almost kind of putting that pressure on Celtic and Rangers and police and those that are, you know, involved in the stewarding and all the relevant stakeholders, that this is now the time that the discussions need to happen. So it's not as if, you know, the clubs are getting off scot-free here and decisions are having to be made for them. The two clubs are being told to kind of take responsibility for it. We saw that with the independent review, and supporters like Francis will be hoping that everyone can sit down, have sensible heads,
I understand,
and work out what it is.
You want the two boards to be working collaboratively to get the safest outcome, but at the same time in Glasgow, it's very difficult to police every single person that comes through a football game, especially on these sort of games, especially when you look at the number of people who jump through the turnstiles who don't have tickets, and it's actually stewards who are dealing with that, who are overwhelmed, and as you says, they aren't paid enough money to then have that sort of altercation, and rightly so. So there's a lot of people in the mix here to try and make this better, but I think it's a bit harsh to say it's all on both boards to really get to the bottom of that in each individual fans, because even when you take into account the two ultra groups.
But where I do
people who were arrested weren't all in ultra groups.
No. You're very right, very correct, rather, on that particular point, because out of the first three arrests made after the game on March the 8th at Ibrox, the first three arrests contained two 47-year-old men. 47-year-old men. Yeah. But where the board of Rangers and of Celtic are at fault, I think, is that they are as guilty as anyone of saying it wasn't us, it was them. And that attitude has got to be taken out of the boardroom, and cooler heads have to prevail. Right now is not the time.
Do you think a lot of that comes from pressure from their own fans to...
Nah, I mean, the Celtic fans can't stand their board and don't think that they're any use to them. I think that at the moment, for whatever reason, the board of Rangers believe it's Celtic's fault and the board of Celtic believe it's Rangers' fault. As I say, now is not the time because the place is on fire. But when the flames die down, you have men of high intelligence here who ought to be capable of better, and they should meet and discuss and see what happens from here.
Thank you to Francis. What about Billy, who's a Rangers fan in Springburn? What are you making of it, Billy?
A couple of points, lads. Can you let me finish before you come in? My point of view is, I don't know why Rangers have to get punished twice, in my opinion, right? That's my first point. Secondly...
What do you mean by that, Billy?
Well, they're told they shut their grin initially with the first £100,000 fine. Knew that this was a cup game, this happened, all right? We're getting punished in the league. You know everybody on the park. So my main point is... So the Scottish,
I suppose these are coming from different places, though, because the SFA are responsible for the Scottish Cup, the SPFL are responsible for the league and the League Cup fixtures, so it's the kind of different authorities that are dealing with the different things.
Double punishment. So at the end of the day, so they don't want us to play each other and home and away and vice versa. So what happens if the Scottish Cup comes up, 2 men in the final? So I was Rangers Celtic, I take out their horns, I go, none of our fans are turning up. My second main point is, they take the good with the bad. Rangers Celtic deserve their punishment. But to me, it's excessive. That's just my opinion. And now we just go, well, no, today, if you knew on, Rangers play at home with all their own fans, Celtic play at home with all their fans, and every club in the country can fill their own stadium, and we'll take new fans to their stadium. Because to me, they want the good and the bad with Rangers Celtic. They want their money, but the punishment is too much. Far too much here. To me, that's a double whammy to me.
Who wants your money?
Well, if you're a club in the country wants for money, you want their wee fans there when they want them.
When Celtic play Rangers or Rangers play Celtic, it's nothing to do with any other club. It's to do with Rangers and Celtic.
If you're going to pay £100,000 to another club to come to your run the next cup game, it's to do with other clubs.
That's a one-off instance.
So it's a one-off?
Yeah.
How's that a one-off? The punishment is twice.
So that particular punishment is a one-off because it's just the £100,000 it would be for that one Scottish Cup game.
But the Barnet Rangers fans and Celtic fans for a league game, two separate things. It's still the one punishment. It's the one punishment what we did, Rangers Celtic done wrong.
In order to curtail violence, they've decided that it would be easier if you only had Celtic fans at Celtic Park and Rangers fans at Ibrox. So, Billy, you seem reluctant to open your eyes to what's going on here. You're lumping the two clubs together and you're being done in by the authorities. Do you never stop to consider how we arrived at this place?
Arrived there, because Rangers Celtic fans wouldn't want to get in. Simple as that.
Do you not think these punishments will do anything, Billy? Do you not think it will deter supporters
everybody.
From...
They're punishing everybody. Police Scotland said they could handle it. I've got about five mates at Ibrox who are stewards. Police Scotland left the ground to deal with stuff that happened outside before the game was even finished. So they left all the poor stewards on minimal wage to deal with all this. If the police would have stayed in the ground, 90% of that wouldn't have happened.
I don't know, to be honest, whether any police did leave the ground or not, but there was stuff going on inside the ground, outside the ground. There was a lot to deal with. Maybe a separate argument is whether the correct number of police or stewards on duty that day.
Forgive me, it wasn't at that stage in the game.
Mm-hmm. Forgive me, but Billy seems reluctant to acknowledge the existence of antisocial behaviour and violence. He's only concerned with, we are getting punished twice, and we are getting this, and we are getting that, totally unwilling to acknowledge the antisocial element in this.
So what is the solution then, Billy? You wouldn't want to see punishments for the clubs and going forward? How do things get sorted?
My words in front of the room, I'm acknowledging we need punished, but I think it's excessive. They're guilty as charged. Two more on the park, Dane Rang, stupid boys and older men full of the drink. There's 50,000 people there, and you're punishing the two clubs who did their best. You're always going to get an element. That didn't my day when I was a young boy, and we're fighting in every ground. But when they were on social media, I hope it wasn't seen. But you don't punish a full club all the time. Ah, you give them a fine, give them that. That's a double punishment. Then you're no one fans at each other's ground. That's not a problem with me. It's probably the right thing to do.
If you have 60,000 people at Celtic for an Old Firm game, Celtic aren't losing any money. The ground's still full. And if you have 50,000 at Ibrox or
they're probably making more money because they don't need to pay as much for the police either.
So they're not getting punished financially. They're getting punished for the behaviour or the misbehaviour of what I have readily conceded is the minority. And the minority have sabotaged the majority. But the minority are the ones who are given to antisocial behaviour and violence.
I also don't mind Billy having the opinion that he thinks it's excessive punishments. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. But it's kind of impossible to tell what is the right level of punishment, what is going to deter supporters from, you know, what happened previously, what is going to kick the clubs into life and make sure that they do the right thing. It's quite hard to tell.
The game of football is punished by not having that unique atmosphere that Celtic Rangers, Rangers Celtic provide. The game of football is punished. But having 60,000 Celtic fans for the league game on the 20th of September doesn't punish Celtic. Ground's full. And the Premier Sports Cup tie at Ibrox on the 13th of September doesn't punish Rangers. 50,000 Rangers fans there, as Scott said, maybe a saving or two in terms of security. So they're not being punished.
Thank you to Billy. 01419511025. Ring that number. We'll speak to you next.
Talking football. 6 until 8. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The phones are red hot on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Always seems to happen when there is a story about ticket allocations and Old Firm matches. So you can let us know what you think. 01419511025. That's with the news today that the SPFL have said that at Premiership and League Cup games between Celtic and Rangers this season, there will be no away fans. We're going to speak to James in Cardonald in a second, but let's hear from both managers, shall we, on that news, starting with Martin O'Neill.
I think that was inevitable, really, after the when Rangers were offering 300 tickets, and I think we refused that. And I think it was just inevitable that that's the decision that the powers that be would make eventually, or made for them. But really sad, must admit, from a normal punter's viewpoint, really. So still a great fixture. I've said this umpteen times. Still look forward to it when I wasn't involved. And yeah, really sad. But how would it get resolved? I think we'll just have to... I think hopefully the two clubs would maybe get together at some stage or another and try and iron out so the particular problems. I mean, that's, you know, it's not to say that we haven't had a few problems in the past, but they seem to have escalated over the last number of seasons, which is a problem. I think the longer that the clubs stay away from each other, then that people are never going to resolve the situation. And so I think from Celtic and Rangers' viewpoint, I think that the clubs will have to get together and see where they could go forward with it, because it's not a great situation to be in.
Obviously, first reaction is disappointing that's been made. I think, without commenting too much, because I don't know the club's position on it at the minute, and I think it's more appropriate that the club speaks on it. But from just it's always better when opposition fans are allowed into a derby game, but whether that can be, there's still got to be behaviours met, and obviously that's the decision that's been made. But I haven't spoke to anybody at the club regarding that, so I can't really comment any more than that. Generally speaking, I think it's always better that you've in any fixture, in any game, it's always better if your supporters are there to be able to watch your team. But you know, obviously this in the context of everything that's went on with this fixture and in the last part of it, I think there's a lot to consider and a lot to discuss. And I think, as far as I was led to believe, that was still up for discussion. So it's kind of caught me on the hop a wee bit, just ahead of coming in here.
Definitely a willingness from both managers, Scott, to try and get supporters back to what that looks like. We don't know yet, and we need to see whether the boards agree and can agree on some sort of solution with police and authorities.
Yeah, the answers that you would expect fully from both team managers. Obviously, they understand, both played football, both understand the importance of having that sort of atmosphere in such a big game and have a fixture list. So I totally understand it from the football perspective. But I think Dan McInnes touched on it. The other behaviours have to be met. And then Martin O'Neill as well, at the same time, he's talking about that collaborative effort that we spoke about earlier. The clubs have to try and come together and iron these sort of problems out. But I think if you asked the players and the coaching staff, they would all be on the side of wanting fans in, but you got to take into account what we've seen in that Scottish Cup game last year. It wasn't acceptable, and this is ultimately the punishment for that.
Derek, quite rightly, distanced himself from any decision making because that's above his pay grade. That is for the Rangers directors to comment upon. And Martin O'Neill said the problems have escalated, and that is the situation in a nutshell. The problems have escalated to an extent where an independent authority has said that the fixture is life-threatening, potentially. So it's for the directors and the games authorities to see where we go from here.
James is a Rangers fan in Cardonald. James, what are your thoughts?
Well, guys, I've been over 180 Old Firm games, as I was saying to a producer, so I'm qualified to tell you some of the differences that Rangers fans face when they go to Celtic Park and vice versa when Celtic go to Ibrox. I think going back to my early days, you'll probably remember this. I can remember the days when you've seen the fans celebrate before you heard them. You know, that's what it used to be like. It was absolute bedlam. But in those days, I reckon 95% of fans went to watch, they actually went to see a football game. You know, you have 5% that would be tanked up with drink, and then they would end up maybe getting into trouble and things like that. Nowadays, I actually think the percentage is about 10-15% that guys are looking to cause trouble. And I don't know if that's social media or whatever. The young ones now, they want to cause trouble. They're in their wee groups, they're wearing their
masks. I do think the sort of numbers are hard to quantify, but you talked about it earlier on, Hugh, that you look at the ages of some of the people arrested at that Old Firm game. It's quite easy to pin it all on
the younger generation.
On the younger generation, and yes, they will be involved in it, but it's not solely the younger generation of supporters. And as I say, when it comes to percentages of supporters that are wanting to turn up and cause trouble, as James said, I think it's quite tough to be able to put a number on that.
You know, you'd have to be the resident super scoreboard psychiatrist to really discuss this matter. because we live in an age where I'm looking at television last night and I'm watching the public arrest of a person because of what went on when Celtic beat Hearts in the last day of the season and won the league title. And the celebrations, so far 47 people have been arrested as a consequence of those celebrations. 47 people. And James is quite right that there was a time when, you know, the fan who was on earlier spoke about the 4-4 game at Ibrox. It was an incredible game of football. Back and forward, and as I say, my pal Murdo McLeod scored the goal that made it 4-4. And there were still 20 minutes left to play. Now, wonderful entertainment, as I say, the game of football is denied by today's developments. The game of football is denied that atmosphere, which, when at its best, is unrivaled and unsurpassed. But James knows the truth of it. There are people now on both sides who go out to this game with the intent to cause trouble.
James?
Yeah, he's right. He's spot on. He's spot on, and he's probably quite accurate when he says that. A lot more than it used to be. That's just my opinion. But having said that, this is the difficulty that Rangers and Celtic have, and this is why there's never, for me, it should never ever be allowed again. And it probably won't be, right? Because they'll never ever agree. The difference is...
What, you don't think away fans should be allowed back in at all, James?
No. No. I mean, as I say, I love the old... I used to live for the Old Firm game. Scott, many Old Firm games have you been to, pal?
A lot.
Like, I've been to over 180. I've actually been to them. I've been to them. And amongst the fans. Right. You've been a lot. Right, I'll give you that. But, right, okay, well, I've been amongst... I've been over a longer period of time. But having said that, this is a massive difference. I'm just about to explain it to you. If you give me a few minutes, I'll explain it to you. Right. A Celtic used to get a full end. Right, a full end, unrestricted view, full end, right? And the police couldn't form a big security in front of it, or the fans wouldn't be able to see the game, right? So they used to be able to spill onto the pitch. Celtic fans basically used to do what they wanted. At Celtic Park, Rangers usually get three quarters of an end, right? And a wee corner bit that's fully restricted view tickets. They weren't happy with that. Also, I used to rock up to see the game, and they deliberately held the gates up, and it meant that Rangers fans very, very often didn't get in 20 minutes before the game. Celtic fans are in always, the stands full before the kick-off, always, because I've seen it, it's almost like the red card treatment outside the stadium, outside the ground, because they can mull around, there's not as tight security, as it is tighter for Rangers fans at Celtic Park. But having said that, Rangers fans having that unrestricted view when they got pushed down to that wee corner, right? Celtic fans were not happy with just getting a wee corner. But that's what happened, because they both done that to themselves because of the crowd trouble. That's what happened. Both of them kept causing problems, right? And at the end of the day, that's why you were left with these wee small amounts. You know, it was 800, wasn't it, the last couple of times? In fact, you know, it was getting smaller and smaller. I mean, Rangers offered them 300. In my opinion, the SPFL took that decision at the Celtic fans, Celtic Football Club's hands.
Well, Celtic said themselves that they weren't accepting those 300 tickets and referred the matter to the SPFL.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, probably. But what the SPFL have done is just basically decided, no, Rangers fans are not getting any league tickets. And the agreement was last year that Rangers were meant to get the same amount of tickets that Celtic had for the league game.
Well, it was meant to be 5% across this season, and I don't know what would have happened if Celtic hadn't referred that to the SPFL, but a lot of it is based on this independent review, essentially, yeah. And what happened on March the 8th at Ibrox, and it's, you know, James is saying that Rangers fans aren't getting the tickets, Celtic fans aren't getting the tickets for the opposite way as well, but essentially it's a case of if they can't agree and no one can get on, have the discussions now and try and work it out before letting the fans back in.
We arrived at a watershed moment on the 8th of March, and we were in the studio, and I was being asked to describe what I was looking at on the pitch at Ibrox. I knew you trot out all the usual cliches. I never thought we'd see this again. I thought these days were over and done with, etc., etc. But the watershed moment led to an independent authority having a look at it and arriving at the conclusion that the Old Firm game, as it stands at the moment, is, in certain instances, for certain reasons, an endangerment to life itself. That's why we're here tonight talking about a ban.
Well, thank you to James. We're running late for the news. We need to leave that there, and we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Some light relief needed, I think. Beat the Pundit. Get your call in right now before the news at 7 0141 951
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
Well, it's been a busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, and it is Ticket Talk that is making the phone lines red hot. It is, of course, the news that the SPFL have said there are going to be no away fans at Old Firm matches for the remainder of this season in the Premiership and League Cup. That's after an independent review was done into what happened on March the 8th between the teams and the supporters. So how are you feeling about it? You can give us a call, 0141 951 1025. A few other talking points we're going to look into. Youth quotas after an SFA summit today. Three proposals put forward to try and get more game time for young Scottish players. So we'll let you know what those are. There was a big Edinburgh derby last night. Loads of games this weekend. So we'll get through all of that between now and 8 o'clock. But let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How's your form, your 100% record this season, Scott?
I'm not saying anything. I don't want to jinx it.
And Hugh, you had some time off, so you've not played too much this season.
No. But
you're raring to get back into it, rack those numbers up.
I told you the story, but I'll now tell Scott Allen the story. I'm on the train today coming in here, and the ticket collector comes up and says, "You beat me twice at Beat the Pundit." I thought, oh, he's going to charge me double. But he was a nice fella, and I told him never to lose hope and make it a third game between us.
Well, Connor is in Bells Hill. Connor, are you a ticket inspector by any chance?
No, I'm not a ticket inspector. He only beat me once as well. So.
Oh.
You're meeting all the people you've overcome so far today. It's not bad.
I've had a long career, though.
That's a good point. There'll be loads of them out there. Yeah. There's probably even more that have beaten you, though.
Four wins every 10 years.
Connor, who do you fancy out of these two?
I want to play Hugh because he beat me before on a Friday night.
Out for revenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that the only time you've played?
Yeah, it was the only time, yeah.
Right, so he wants to play against Hugh, but it could be Scott, who has his... He doesn't want to talk about it, but I'll bring it up just to annoy him. His 100% record on the line. It will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin. For Hugh Keevans, it will be the red side for Scott Allen. And it is the red side for Scott Allen. Connor doesn't get his wish, so we will put something else in the ear of Scott Allen so he cannot hear us. And for you, Connor, you know the rules, but it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, all good.
Let's do it. Name any Celtic player signed by Ange Postecoglou that's still at the club.
Pass.
In what year did Rangers last win a trophy?
2024.
Who won more Edinburgh derbies, Scott Allen or Andy Halliday?
Andy Halliday.
SFA CEO Ian Maxwell was previously managing director at which club?
Kilmarnock.
Name any side Alan McGregor played for between his Rangers spells.
Blackburn.
Okay, we will bring Scott Allen back in. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Disco classic there.
I love a bit of disco here.
Yeah.
What was it?
Once I Was Afraid, I Was Petrified.
Just getting the Friday night vibes on the go.
Yeah.
Right, we'll see what it does for Scott Allen. 30 seconds on the clock, let's go. Name any Celtic player signed by Ange Postecoglou that's still at the club.
Pass.
In what year did Rangers last win a trophy?
2022.
Who won more Edinburgh derbies, Scott Allen or Andy Halliday?
Andy Hardy.
SFA CEO Ian Maxwell was previously managing director at which club?
Partick Thistle.
Name any side Alan McGregor played for between his Rangers spells.
Hull.
Who was the last Motherwell manager to complete two full seasons?
Stephen Robinson.
Where would you find the Merkland stand?
Dunfermline.
Okay, how do you think that went, Connor?
Oh, he definitely beat me there, definitely.
We'll go through them and see. Name any Celtic player signed by Ange Postecoglou that's still at the club. I'm actually surprised there's only four players on this list. Cameron Carter-Vickers would have been correct. Liam Scales, Alistair Johnson and Jota. Neither of you got it. So, a goalless start. In what year did Rangers last win a trophy? You went either side. You went 2022? You went 2024, did you?
2022.
Yeah.
23.
That's what it was. It was 2023. It was bang in the middle. So still 0-0. Who won more Edinburgh derbies, Scott Allen or Andy Halliday? You both went for Andy Halliday. Do you know how many you won?
No.
Three.
And Andy won?
Four.
Oh.
So you're both correct. One all. SFA CEO Ian Maxwell was previously managing director at which club? Connor went for Kilmarnock. Scott went for Partick Thistle. Correct answer. 2-1 to Scott. Name any side Alan McGregor played for between his Rangers spells. Connor didn't get it. You think he said Blackburn, which wasn't right. You went for Hull City. You could have had Hull, you could have had Besiktas, or you could have had a loan spell at Cardiff. So it's 3-1. Who was the last Motherwell manager to complete two full seasons? Stephen Robinson?
Yeah.
Is correct. Good answer on that one. 4-1 to Scott Allen. Connor didn't get that far, so we know who's won. And one final question for Scott Allen. Where would you find the Merkland stand? You went for Dunfermline. I could tell you had absolutely no idea. Aberdeen is the answer, up at Pittodrie. But it is a 4-1
really
win
comfortable, wasn't
for Scott Allen. Unlucky Connor.
No, better man won.
How are you?
Just on the night.
How are you? Who's your team, Connor? Who do you support?
Celtic.
How are you feeling about Celtic now? Is it, what's on your mind? Is it the transfer window, the game coming up this weekend? Is it tickets?
Transfer window is okay by the end, but it's just the same old story, not getting enough players in a time to get to Champions League. So used to it by now.
It was kind of the common theme of last night's show, a lot of Celtic fans phoning in.
Just about to say to you, I listened to last night's programme and it was caller after caller cutting the board, no slack at all. You know, in spite of the fact that Camilo Duran has lit up the place, Casper, who has come in, Micah Bauer, Hassan looked good against Aberdeen midweek.
All just kind of stems back to not getting into the Champions League.
Yeah, though. But I really do come back to it. The board weren't four up with an hour to go. The team were four up with an hour to go. Celtic blew it on the park, not off the park.
But I suppose even if Celtic were, you know, 4-0 up and a lot of it comes down to the players or whether it comes down to tactics, is there an argument to say that if Celtic had an even stronger squad at that point, they had a couple more players to bring off the bench, then they would have had more chance of seeing out the game?
Maybe, but I'm with you in this one. I think when you've got a 4-0 lead, 60 minutes left to play, you know what's at stake. I think there was a lot of things on the night that management definitely could have done better, and player responsibility on the pitch that should have seen them through that tie, and on the night it just went from bad to worse.
I mean, the Celtic board, by virtue of the fact that they failed to qualify for six Champions Leagues on the bounce, they have a significant role to play in that failure. But you can't hang everything on them. You know, as Scott said, Martin O'Neill made mistakes in Austria. Sean Maloney made mistakes in Austria. The players on the park were guilty of capitulation, an implosion leading to capitulation. Four up, an hour to go, is nothing other than unprofessional.
Thank you to Connor. While we get another caller lined up, why don't we hear from Martin O'Neill and his thoughts on Celtic's transfer window.
In an ideal world, I would like to have had had them all on board. It gives people the extra incentive. But I have to say, bread and butter is the league. These next 3 or 4 months will prove whether they will join that list in January time, if we are still there. you know. Yeah, it was difficult. I'd love to have had them all in, but I had to learn from last season when I didn't know the rules. I sometimes concern myself about loan players coming in. Loans are sometimes, you know, are a bit of a concern, but it depends on the player.
That was him talking about the Europa League squad and the fact that three of the new signings, Joe Vandenberg, Shim Weka and Landon Emanalo, aren't in there. It's all to do with, you know, the homegrown player rules. He would have liked to have more in there. But then also talking about loan deals, which Celtic had been criticised for a bit in January, that, you know, maybe a similar kind of situation this year. Remains to be seen how it'll unfold. They may all turn out to be brilliant, but, you know, Celtic were criticised for kind of leaving it late and then bringing in a lot of loan players in January, weren't they?
I thought Moeka looked good when he came on. I got the fright of my life, Scott. One of my grandsons texted me before the game started and said, "Shim's an old teammate of mine." And I said, "What? Where?" We're both at the Brighton Academy together.
Really?
Yeah. And my grandson said, "Everyone in the place knew then that he was unbelievable. You can only describe his talent as unbelievable." So I think he'd be a bit lively for Celtic. I can understand why Martin O'Neill, he's bound by certain rules regarding homegrown players, but also if Celtic want to avoid humiliation in the Europa League, they're going to have to play men, and the young men involved here, we're talking about two Chelsea youth team players and a teenager who's come in at good money. But
well, if they're not playing, we've got a cooperation agreement if they want to come to the Bumblebee Stadium.
can you loan a loan? Is that allowed?
No.
Is it good? No, I wouldn't imagine so.
What about you telling us in another world that your grandson has joined Chelsea from the Brighton Academy and then is on loan at Celtic?
Well, it might have been, but he's a former teammate of Mwika and said that, say, from the age of 9... he looked unbelievable.
Right, let's speak to Paul, who's a Celtic fan in Cope Bridge. Is it ticket allocations on your mind, Paul?
No, it's not ticket allocations. It's about this Celtic Rangers and how the report of it was put together. And I think what's been missed is that the one word that was used in that report that isn't really getting talked about is the word complacency. Right? Now, whether it was Celtic or Rangers, the stewarding and the stewardship of that fixture was characterised as being complacent in terms of how the fans were being marshalled, and the authorities need to take responsibility for this, right? It's not good enough that they're blaming the fans all the time, even though what the fans did was reprehensible. So this is one of the most important sporting fixtures in the world, and what they should be also trying to do is to get more than 300 or 700 fans in. Now, I'm a Celtic supporter, right? I'd love to see 5,000 fans at Parkhead, because that is the fixture. And what I'd like to see is, instead of the authorities punishing the fans, they start to make the clubs more accountable, both Celtic and Rangers, and make them accountable for any damage in each respective stadium.
Well, I think they already do that. I think they are responsible for the damage that takes place at each other's stadiums, and they're essentially footed with a bill that they need to pay. But, you know, Paul is right. The report talks about complacency. There were a number of interviewees that said there were complacency on the part of, you know, the governing bodies and the clubs ahead of the matches. They talk about a cascade of planning errors, which then lead to the violence, so the supporters, those involved in that, need to take responsibility for that. But then the clubs and the authorities also need to take responsibility for this cascade of planning errors that also led to it.
Do planning errors lead to violence? Violence not...
I mean they can maybe not directly lead to it, but they certainly can't help it. If there are planning errors in there, then, you know, if it is planned better, then surely
again
it can help personal stop
opinion.
It, deter it.
Purely personal opinion, I think it's let's look for another reason other than blame ourselves.
But it doesn't have to be the blame lies. It doesn't have to be just the supporters that are to blame. The supporters can be to blame for their part, and then the other stakeholders in it, whether it is the governing bodies, whether it is the clubs, they can also take responsibility for their part as well.
As I understand it, a gate was charged at Ibrox, and many Celtic fans get in who didn't have tickets for the match. So are you supposed to have security outside the ground that is so massive, you avoid that kind of thing happening. And inevitably...
Is that maybe part of the cascade of planning errors, that actually isn't an isolated incident?
No.
That has happened before at other games. So maybe there's cause to say that the clubs need to be more prepared for something like that happening.
What we're describing then is a day of mayhem, where you're going to require stewarding, 500, 600, 700 strong, policing 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 strong. You're not describing a football match now, you're describing a war.
I get that becomes a problem as well with there's only so many police that you can have attend these games, because there is a full city and a full country that needs to be policed at the same time. So
no,
that's where it
stops.
Comes complicated.
No one ever stops to think, we need so many police for this fixture. It's a disgrace. We need that number of police to try and keep two lots of football fans apart. Take a little responsibility.
Well, thank you to Paul. We'll have to leave that there because we're going to head to a break. More of your calls to come. We'll maybe touch on some of the other topics, those youth quotas after that big meeting today. Craig Mulholland and Ian Maxwell have been speaking at that. There was an Edinburgh Derby last night, and I'll set up a teaser for Scott and Hugh.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4 till 7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep your calls coming on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've had a lot of opinions about the fact there's going to be no away fans at Old Firm fixtures in the Premiership and League Cup this season. So if you want to continue that conversation, 01419511025. We're going to take a look at that SFA summit today. It was all about trying to get more minutes for young Scottish players across the SPFL. So you can let us know what you're making of that. We're going to let you know what the youth quotas that have been proposed are. There was an Edinburgh Derby last night, a lot of games this weekend. So get your calls in right now, but I'll set this up for Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
The full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Yes, as usual, thank you to Arkiplan Glasgow for the full-time teaser, and thank you to Zachariah who sent this one in. It's essentially just the reverse of what last night's question was, if you heard that, which is... Can you name the last 8 Rangers players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh Derby? So last night, it was the last 8 Celtic players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh Derby. But this time, it's the last 8 Rangers players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh Derby.
Andy Halliday.
Andy Halliday, correct.
Barry Mackay.
Barry Mackay, also correct. Good start.
On you go, Scotty boy. On you go.
Take one more.
Rangers players.
Or should we leave it there?
No. There's a goalkeeper in there, isn't there?
There's always a goalkeeper, isn't there? There's always a goalkeeper.
I can see his face.
Anything to you?
Neil.
Alexander.
You're just doing a part of the name each?
Is it?
No.
It's not
in there, no. Be quite good, just duet every answer.
Yeah.
But no, it's wrong anyway, so it doesn't work. Right, I will get some more answers later. What about this meeting, summit, whatever you want to call it, between the 42 SPFL clubs that took place today? Ian Maxwell, Craig Mulholland were there. I think Sebastian Pocognoli, the new Scotland manager, was there as well. And essentially, it was all about trying to get more young Scottish players some game time in the SPFL, because the numbers have been dwindling over the years. Scotland are falling behind when it comes to similarly sized countries. So essentially, the crux of the meeting was that there are 3 proposals that have been put forward that are going to be voted on at an SFA general meeting in October and an SPFL AGM in November. So the 3 youth quotas, potential youth quotas that could come into Scottish football to try and promote getting more young Scottish players playing football are, the first one, 2 under-21 Scottish eligible players starting all Scottish Cup matches with one of those players on the pitch at all times. 2 under-21 Scottish eligible players starting all Premier Sports Cup matches with one player on the pitch at all times. Or, it's a more general one across the season, under-21 Scotland eligible players in all 4 SPFL divisions to play an average of 60 minutes per game across the season, which equates to 6% of the available minutes for each club.
Let me say that in its way, this is a major problem for Scottish football, because... as I understand it, last weekend, how many, Scott Allen, what percentage of Scottish players played in the Premiership last weekend?
Have you got the answer to this?
Mm-hmm.
12%.
More? 27%.
It's never as good when you underestimate it, and then it just kills the.
But I think that just shows you where you think it is.
Yeah, but it's a quarter. You know, more or less a quarter of the players were Scottish. In other words, three quarters of the players in the Premiership last weekend were not Scottish. And we can have, it's not uncommon to find a Premiership side named at 3 o'clock on a Saturday or 7:30 on a Wednesday with no Scottish players in it at all.
Hearts, six players last night, six Scottish players.
Yeah, but
three having a real impact.
You know, Aberdeen, I think this season, with a non-Scottish team. Dundee United were a non-Scottish team. So they're right to get into this matter and see how we can
it's the Premiership, do something about the problem. It. There's a lot of Scottish players playing Championship, League One, League Two, especially players under 21. There's
but
a lot of guys.
The Premiership is the flagship competition.
Of course, and that is the problem. And ultimately, it's just proposals. It's now trying to get everybody on board. There's financial incentives in there as well, isn't there, Andrew?
Yep. So essentially, if you meet, I think this is the one that if the one for the games across the divisions across the whole season, so if you don't meet that, 6% of available minutes given to Scottish under 21, so Scottish eligible players under 21, if you don't meet that, then 10% of your prize money for the season will be docked, and then that money pot is essentially shared between all the clubs that do meet the quota.
And that has to be agreed on by all clubs?
Yeah, so it's going to be one of those three. So it could be in the league, it could be in the Scottish Cup, could be in the Premier Sports Cup.
There's three words that concern me in the three proposals that you outlined there, and it's at all times. I'm not sure that you can say to a manager, this player, under 21, must be on the park at all times. Because if the manager says he's having a shocker, he must be entitled to take him off.
But I suppose if every club is bound by the same rules, no one is really being disadvantaged in a way, because you're just giving, every club is having to give the same opportunities. Maybe it is more black and white when it's the cup matches, because as you say, you know, they are win or lose, you're potentially going to get knocked out. But across a league season, is that more achievable, do you think?
Across a league season?
A league season, doing it, giving 6% of available minutes to under 21 Scottish eligible players. Is that...
And
do you think
depending who you get in the cups as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, at the early part of the cup competition, there's that always rides a wee bit of a pressure on them to get through. So, yeah, I think the win throughout the course of the season is probably maybe the one that you would most likely to see out of them.
Scottish football thrives on self-interest. Now, I know that these proposals are going to be voted upon in October, and self-interest will come to the fore. It won't be a shoo-in that these three proposals will be passed into the statute books. But as I say, if we have a Premiership last weekend that had three quarters of the players non-Scots, then we have to look at decreasing that number and increasing the number of people who are eligible to play for Sebastien Pocnoli for the national side.
Well, let's hear from Stephen, who is a Dumbarton fan. Stephen, what are you making of it?
Hiya, thanks for taking my call. Good to hear these tonight. I think it will disproportionately harm lower league teams like Dumbarton. We've got the cooperation loans at the moment, which are working quite well, but the players are subject to be recalled at any point. So for Toxic, we've got a couple on loan from Celtic. If Celtic aren't meeting this quota, they could, or they're having a goalkeeping crisis, they could recall our goalkeeper who's on loan from them, which in turn would affect Dumbarton. We would need to bring up one of our under-20s who are playing at a significantly lower level than the elite Scottish clubs. So we could potentially miss out or we'd need to play an older player.
You could always get the emergency loan for a goalkeeper though, can't you?
You see, right away, Stephen makes my point, I think. Self-interest.
Yeah.
Stephen's interest is Dumbarton Football Club, and
is that not part of maybe trying to trend slightly away from that, because we know what it's like, there is that self-interest, but it's more about sort of everyone agreeing to these rules for the greater good of Scottish football.
No, but Dumbarton will have, how many goalies do you have, Stephen, in your first team squad?
In the first first team squad, there's two at the moment. We just signed one just now because Aidan Rice on loan from Celtic is out with an injury for
him. Yeah, he's injured. So, yeah, so your backup goalie or your number two, how old is he?
I think he might be about 24. It's Harry Brune from, he used to be at Kilmarnock. He was at us a couple of years ago. But the backup goalie just now isn't very experienced. He's a young lad just now. And our under-20s are doing really good for their level at the moment. They're really exciting to watch. But
then, is that not also the point, Stephen, that you're talking about the player that is not very experienced? The only way that they're going to get experience is if they get game time and they play at a senior level. So if all clubs are kind of in this same predicament where, you know, they may find themselves having to fill gaps at times and they know that they need to meet a certain quota, then they can use these players that maybe aren't as experienced, give them the game time that they weren't previously getting, and the hope is that they'll develop and then develop at a better speed than they would previously when they're not playing.
It's a lot of the KTM trophy's been used for that. A lot of the clubs at Dumbarton's level can't sustain it because it's too many fixtures. So we're seeing more injuries happening. It's so much so that teams like Dumbarton, even Clydebank, are playing their younger players in that tournament, and they're not getting they're playing against each other every week anyway, so they're not going to be testing themselves against a tougher opposition. And the losing 10% of prize money makes a lot of difference for Dumbarton. With our position, we finished last season, it might be around £6,000 or £7,000. That's enough to sign a player for next season.
You have signed players though, haven't you? Signed some players with good experience throughout the rest of your squad.
The only one is possibly we've signed a lot of younger players that have been released at the moment. That haven't quite made the cut at bigger teams. So they are getting a chance at us. We will be able to field under-21s, but in a scenario where Celtic are in our co-op agreement and take one of our star players, probably our goalkeeper, Aidan Rice, if they were to take him back, it would really, really mess up our season, because he saved our season last year. He's a brilliant goalkeeper. He is one for the future. So the co-op agreements, I think, are working well, and these proposals don't go far enough, I don't think. It's kind of half measures.
I think we're the greatest world in the world. This is not about Dumbarton. This is about the Premiership, and it's about the national team, and it's about stopping young men.
It's not just about the Premiership though, because it's coming in across all four divisions, and it's about, you know, raising the level of players across all of the divisions.
Because
then there's the turnover of players as well, that it's comparative or it's relative to every division, that if you have players that are playing more first team football, getting that experience, developing quicker, you may then be able to sell them for, you know, money that you weren't previously, and it might help the turnover.
You just need to look at some of the players who have played for our national team and went to World Cups. They started in these leagues with loan deals. They went. Kenny McLean went to Arbroath. The lower league clubs do have a part. They've
some of them started the league two. Queen's Park. Andy Robson.
Absolutely,
down there
absolutely. But call me cynical, but Craig Mulholland and Ian Maxwell didn't get together to see how things are with Dumbarton's standby goalkeeper. They're trying to address that statistic that last weekend, 3/4 of the Premiership was made up of non-Scottish players, and trying to get young men game time at that level.
Thank you to Stephen. You should listen into tomorrow's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Saturday Super Scoreboard as well, because from 4:00, the SFA's Chief Football Officer, Craig Mulholland, will be joining us. He'll be talking all about this. He'll be going into the details of it. I'm sure it'll be very interesting. The guys will get a good debate on it, and he will give you all the details. So 4:00 tomorrow, Craig Mulholland will be joining the guys for a bit of a deeper discussion on all that. But let's keep it going. James is a Celtic fan in Kilsyth. James, what are you thinking?
Hello, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Before I go on to my main point, apart about Celtic throwing away a 4-goal lead, my daddy took me to my first ever Celtic game at Celtic Park, and Celtic played for Lanark in 1962. You'll probably remember that game.
I'm laughing because I was there. It was 4-0 for Celtic at half time, and it was 4-4 at full time.
It was 4-0 after a quarter of an hour, Hugh, as far as I remember. you know, I didn't have a watch right enough. But anyway, what I'm phoning up about is Scotland's teams get into Europe, and the UEFA have introduced that this rule about you've got to have so many homegrown players in your squad. Well, I think that's
been there for a long time, yeah. James.
Yeah, I know, but it's very unfair. But it's squeezing the smallest countries out. Now, Scotland's got a population of 5 million. Celtic or Rangers or whoever it is, they have got to have 17 homegrown players in their squad. England's got 60 million in a population. They've got to, Manchester United have got to have 17 players, you know.
James, are you coming up with some convoluted reason as to why Celtic are not to blame for blowing a 4-goal lead with 60 minutes to go?
Rangers got to a Europa League final with that.
I think they were still with the hangover I think they still had a hangover for the Thurlanet game.
There is no excuse, absolutely no excuse under the sun for what happened to Celtic. Every player and the manager takes collective responsibility. It was a humiliation and an unprofessional capitulation.
If I can kind of tie the two issues together, what James is talking about and the summit today and these youth quotas as well, the SFA aren't looking at England and Spain and France and comparing ourselves to what's going on in those countries. No. What they're looking at is they actually pick specific countries of similar size, similar, you know, you look at some of the ones on some of the presentation sheets, Sweden, Switzerland, Austria, Norway, Belgium, some slightly bigger ones in there as well. But Scotland are falling way behind in some metrics when it comes
Scottish
to
players.
Game time for young Scottish players, when it comes to, you know, having the opportunity to grow revenue through player sales because of the development of players. Scotland are falling well short
I think
of a lot of these countries.
One, that one is thrown in. I'll speak to Craig about it tomorrow, but that bit about the monetary aspect, I think, is thrown in as a way of saying to the clubs, come on, it may be costing you money. What they really want addressed is the fact that Scottish players have become an endangered species in Scotland.
But I suppose the price of the players and how much they're going for is representative of how good these players are. So if you're developing
the clubs will argue about the best ones obviously going at 16. That's the other caveat to this, is the best ones are taken out of the country. But then I think if that is the case and they do go at 16 down south to the Premier League, to these sort of clubs, then how can you make the rest of the players who are still here better? There's still a responsibility for them. So you can still make the overall standard of a player better and create a better pathway.
I come back to everyone's attempt to look out for themselves. At the start of the season, Rangers hinted that they were going Scottish. And apart from Lawrence Shankland, have they signed a Scottish player?
Ross McCrory signed. Try to think, is there any?
But they have gone significantly non-Scottish instead of what they originally set out to do.
Well,
just
we will
a part
leave
of the problem
that there. Thank you very much to James. James Penrice signed as well as another Scottish player. But thank you very much to James. 0141 951 1025. There is a championship game that kicked off 10 minutes in. Livingston against Stenhouse Muir. A decent chance for Livingston, wasn't it? Was that Bruce Anderson?
Should have scored. Should have scored. Bang in the centre of the goal. Unimpeded, but straight down the goalkeeper's throat. I had a text from you know who. Who manages Steny, the champions elect? And he said to me, if only I had Yang. He never lets it go.
Right, let's get some answers on this teaser. Can you name the last 8 Rangers players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh derby? You have Barry Mackay, you have Andy Halliday.
Darren McGregor?
No.
Jason Cummins?
No.
He's played for Rangers and played in a derby.
Might not fit the time frame.
I had you last night as a Celtic player who played in an Edinburgh derby. Apparently you were a wrong answer.
Apparently McGregor and Cummings just miss out in time frame. So it's either the last Edinburgh derby or Old Firm game they played.
Camberry?
No. He was before as well. This is a struggle tonight for you two.
I've just gave you 4 names.
And they were all wrong.
Well, they weren't wrong. They were right. They just weren't obviously of the time frame. A chance here for Livingston.
Any more? Go to a break. Get some more after. Yeah. Right. We'll get more answers next.
It's game on until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Any final thoughts on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard? Got your calls in 01419511025. There has been plenty happening. No away fans, Old Firm matches in the Premiership and League Cup this season. That sparked quite the debate. We've looked into the proposals set forward by the SFA to try and get more young players minutes in the SPFL. We are going to look at the Edinburgh Derby from last night. We're going to look ahead to some of tomorrow's matches. There's a game ongoing right now. It's Livingston 0, Stenhouse Muir 1. A goal for Andrew Shinney during the break.
Yeah, Big Marv didn't need Yang after all. He just needed Shinney. And it was a very well taken goal for the champions elect. So, Big Marv, the story goes on.
Yeah, both of them back at an old place. Shinney obviously was there last year. I've known Andrew Shinney for a long time. He's a really good finisher. And it just puts that, I just feel when Stenny go in front now, they can make it really difficult. What a win it would be for Marv. Obviously back at Livingston, what a win it would be.
I'm sure he won't be bragging about it at all if it happens. Good ball into the box for Stenhouse Muir there. It's gonna drop.
Ooh, oh, chance.
An opportunity for Stenhouse Muir, but it remains 1-0. We have some work to do on this teaser. Similar to last night, but slightly different. Can you name the last 8 Rangers players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh Derby? You were struggling before the break. You've only got Barry Mackay and Andy Halliday.
John Souter.
Yes, John Souter is the most recent of the lot. And then more silence.
Lord Shankland.
No, because he hasn't played in an Old Firm game yet.
Next weekend.
The only names that Hugh has written down on his sheet are the 3 that Scott Allen has successfully guessed so far. So that's not great.
Give us a position.
I'll say they go back to...
Give me the years.
They go back to when, 2020. So that is either the latest Old Firm game or the latest Edinburgh Derby they played. So they could have played in one of the fixtures years and years ago, but the latest Derby fixture they played in, one or other, was 2020.
Lafferty.
Kyle Lafferty. No. No, nothing. Come back to it.
Yeah.
Talk about the Edinburgh Derby last night instead. Yep. Scott, you were there. It was, it was quite a game.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it, yeah. I thought it was... It
gets built up quite a lot sometimes and we just don't really get the same... the same quality on the pitch, but I actually thought it was a really good game of both halves. The old cliche, but it really was. I thought Hearts were excellent and well worth a lead in the first half, and then Hibs just came out the second half absolutely flying. But there's no getting away how much impact Jack Iredale sending off had on the game.
Some players just hang their managers out to dry, and Jack Iredale did that. I mean, the very last thing that David Gray needed. But not to take away from Wouter Franken, what a job he's doing after a dodgy start at Tynecastle.
They're scoring goals, Hugh.
Yeah.
And it was always going to be interesting how the Hearts fans would react to a bit of change, because you look at the games that they had at the start of the season, the Sturm game, Benfica, and you could see he was trying to change things. And listen, the games probably came far too early for Hearts. But the last kind of 3 weeks, I think they'll be looking at that Aberdeen game at the start of the season, really kicking themselves because they're in total control.
I did hear you say on another media outlet last night that you thought that Hearts could finish second.
Yes.
So which part of the Old Firm's finishing third then?
Well, I think that would be Rangers.
Mm.
Not seen enough from Rangers to think not that they yet. Could get ahead of Hearts.
The more I think about that, when I said it, that I'm sure that was last week I'd said that. But I'm looking at Rangers bringing in players and then I just wonder if Hearts have that depth to come in and still maintain the quality of performances. I think if they lose one of the wingers, whether it's McPaik, Miller, Braga, obviously still being at the club is a huge boost
to
them.
How big is that? Because I think everyone just assumed huge. At the end of last season when he was winning Player of the Year awards that he'd be one of the first out the door. And they've lost quite a few players. They've lost their manager, but they've managed to
carry themselves really well throughout the whole process as well, because there has been speculation. And you're just looking at the players now surrounding them. I think you might even see a better Claudio Braga this year, the way things are looking, especially with how they're set up. And it just shows you when you have that sort of Jamestown thing. And they did say, didn't they, not to get too attached to players or managers. They did say that.
Mm-hmm.
They've managed to find one. He's come in to completely change the style of play, and their fans are really excited from what they're seeing. So I think there is a growing belief there that Hearts can be up to the top of the table again.
Yeah, nice thing going on early in the season, because Hearts are an interesting watch. St Mirren are an interesting watch. They play Celtic tomorrow. Motherwell, always an interesting watch. They're at Ibrox. Great game.
I think Aberdeen against Kilmarnock's going to be an interesting watch.
Well, they only have two faults, Aberdeen and St Mirren and Kilmarnock. They only have two faults each. They can't attack and they can't defend.
That could be a bad, bad game of football.
Mm. I think they might be hoping eyes.
I think Kelly win that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be very bad news for Stephen Robinson.
I think Aberdeen are in trouble. I really do.
Yeah. They're rotten.
Right. I think we've got some work to do on this teaser before, because I'll need to get on with this early, because you've still got five answers to go. Can you name the last eight Rangers players who've played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh derby? You have John Souter, Barry Mackay and Andy Halliday. You have one goalkeeper and the rest are attacking players.
Did Alec Lowry play for Hearts?
No. Oh, Alec Lowry is a wonderful shout from Hugh Keevans. What a shout from you.
See?
I don't mind that at all. Really good. Right.
How good's he been for Motherwell over the last few weeks?
And what a goal it was as well. Not just the strike, the build-up to it.
That
the
and
other
then
night.
The pass against St Mirren.
So good.
And you just wonder what he looks like at Ibrox.
With a bit between his teeth.
Yeah, I think he's one of the players really grown in belief now. I think that sort of game, he'll believe that he really belongs there, and you could really see the best of him. So yeah. Intrigued to see how that game goes.
I need to stop you there, Hugh. Sorry, because we have four answers to get
on this teaser.
You've got four Andrew. Most recent. So you've got a goalkeeper that played for Rangers and Hearts. It's a Scotland international. Not many caps though. JM. Goodness me, this is going to be tough.
JM.
You've got a winger. BB. Rangers and Hibs.
Brandon Barker.
Yes, Brandon Barker. You've got a winger who played for Rangers and Hibs. JM. Scottish. Is still playing in the Championship. Has a sporting director role at Ayr. And this one of the more high profile ones, was part of the Scotland backroom staff recently.
Naismith.
Stephen Naismith. Still the goalkeeper to get. JM. Played at Sunderland down south. Where else did he play?
You know him. Hugh.
John,
oh, come on now,
John McLaughlin, right, oh, it is. We are back tomorrow. Craig Mulholland's going to be joining us, and it is the GBX up next.